Hey folks, welcome back to the Next Bite Podcast. This is episode 51 and happy 2022, guys. Happy New Year. To celebrate this new year and the 1 year anniversary of this podcast, Dan and I actually decided to sit down, look back at 2021, and talk about some of our favorite topics. We went through some of our favorites, and then we reflected on the work that we've done so far, how far we've come, things we really accomplished, things that we set out to do in episode zero, how far we've been able to push those goals forward, and things that we hope to improve on. So we hope you guys enjoy this episode as much as we did, and let's hop right into it.
I'm Daniel.
And I'm Forbode.
And this is the Next Bite Podcast. Every week, we explore interesting and impactful tech and engineering content from Weevolver.com and deliver it to you in bite-sized episodes that are easy to understand, regardless of your background.
So yeah, 1 year. Can you believe it, man? It's been a freaking year. It's crazy. No. If you go back and listen to episode zero, we were definitely ambitious, and you know we had goals that we wanted to hit, but looking
much worse audio quality.
Oh, horrible! And yeah. We've contemplated taking it off and redoing it multiple times, but like it's almost a badge of honor at this point to see how far we've come.
Yeah, it's like it's our time capsule. It shows where we were in the moment 1 year ago, and how far we've come. Absolutely. Although, I feel like we're still figuring everything out. I don't feel like we've really nailed anything down, but I feel like that's part of learning and growing and getting better. And
I feel like if this was us learning how to ride the bicycle, we just stopped wobbling with the training wheels. Yeah. Like after a year, we're starting to really get it. But
yeah, still so much more to learn.
So much to learn. So much more to do. You guys have been amazing for listening to us. I feel like every time we put out an episode, I'm blown away by the feedback that we get and by the engagements that we get. So thank you for being on this journey with us with this past year. So we decided that it would be a great time to look back at 2021 and just reflect on some of our favorite topics and some of our favorite moments with the podcast. And hopefully you guys enjoy the ride.
Yeah. Let's get to it.
All right, you want to kick us off with one of your favorite topics this past year?
Yeah, I mean, this goes all the way back. I imagine a lot of the people that have listened to the podcast haven't even listened back this far. Episode two,
Boom Supersonic. About,
yeah, the XB1 prototype from Boom Supersonic. I mean, even then, just listening, like you could go back and listen to the episode and hear our energy. How excited we were about it. I'm still this excited about the topic. Just like an Eli 5 one sentence explainer for what this is. Boom Supersonic, this company based in Colorado, they made a prototype version of their plane, so a scale model that is still fully functioning, able to fly and everything. And they're basically, it's a smaller version of their plane. I think it's called the Overture.
Yep, Overture.
That they expect will bring supersonic passenger flight back, you know, back and better than ever. It'll be, you know, basically carbon neutral. It won't have all the sound concerns that existed with the Concorde or all the safety concerns as well. They basically think like this is the silver bullet that will fix and solve for us bringing supersonic commercial passenger flight back.
And it uses net carbon neutral fuel, like it's carbon
Prometheus fuels.
So what I loved about this episode is that we were so excited about the topic and there were so many cool things to talk about that we were struggling to keep it at like the time limit that we had set for ourselves.
Yeah.
I feel like we kept like trying to like cut each other off.
This is one of the ones that we had to go back and re-record because it was way too long.
That's exactly what I was going to say. I think the first like attempt at it was over 35 minutes, majority of it being just that one topic out of three.
Yeah.
But man, was it fun. Like it's probably still one of my favorite episodes that we did.
Me too. And just like we always talk about what's the secret sauce, right? What's the technology stack that they use to achieve this awesome thing? I think what was interesting for us there is that it ran the gamut in terms of material science. So there was 3D printing, there was carbon fiber composites, there's Prometheus fuels who are taking carbon out of the air and turning it into rocket fuel. I mean, turning it into jet fuel. I mean, just in terms of being a material science geek, which both of us are, that's how we met. doing material science research. For us, this was super exciting. I mean, I would be lying if I said I don't go back still sometimes and like listen to episode two or read this article again about Boom Supersonic, which was written by you, actually. Well-written article.
Which says a lot, by the way, because the audio quality is pretty horrible. So I guess that's how good the actual episode was.
Yeah, all the way back to episode two.
Good times, good times. But yeah, what I'm excited about is as the team at Boom makes progress, I want to do updates on that. Yeah. And at some point, we can like get one of their engineers on or someone from the team on. I love to like pick their brain a little bit, learn more about the day to day at Boom. Such an exciting project, not just because like they're literally bringing Boom, the Sonic Boom back to our everyday lives in a good way though. Mm-hmm. But because of what a feat of engineering it is in terms of material science, chemical engineering, all the good jazz.
Yeah.
So I'm stoked, dude. I love that episode. Good pick. That was a solid pick.
Thank you.
All right. I'm going to try to follow this up with episode 8. I don't know if you remember this, but it was about eliminating emission inspections with IoT devices. This one hit home for me. It's from Carnegie Mellon University. The TLDR, they were suggesting that by using, so if you do your emissions inspection, the mechanic takes this OBD analyzer. OBD mm-hmm. is the diagnostic computer in your car. They plug in the diagnostic tool, read the error codes. If there are any, it fails. If you're good to go, if there are no check engine lights, you pass. So basically the computer on your car is doing all the heavy lifting. These folks were like, look, if that's really the case, then why don't we just do this remotely? You know, in the world of IoT, everything's advancing. Why don't we do that remotely as well? They did some analysis. Turns out that the just relying on the OBD stuff is not the most reliable method. But if you overlap it with actual pipe testing that has been done in the past, to try and extrapolate where a car's performance is in comparison to other cars similar to it, you actually get a pretty good estimate of how much of an over emitter it is.
Yeah. So that was sick.
I loved it because at the time that I read this, I work at alarm.com and I was working on an IoT device for OBD ports. And I was like, dude, this makes so much sense. Yeah. And I was geeking out about it. I remember reading the article. I think I texted you. I was like, we got to talk about this.
Mm-hmm.
And to this day, that is one of my favorite articles because I like even took it back to work and I was talking to the product managers, to my friends. And I was like, this is so interesting. Like, you guys got to look at this.
Well, I think that something that's like really, that's one of the best parts, right, of what we're doing is because we're learning so much that we can apply to other parts of our lives. But one thing that was also cool to me about this one is, we shouted out the author. I'm forgetting his name at the time, but he became a podcast listener.
You're right.
And he like became friends with him on Twitter and Instagram and everything. Like that was one of the cool parts to this for me. Like that early on, episode 8, is we started to make connections with the people in the field who were, you know, making the discoveries, who are doing the cool things, and we're just documenting our journey, learning it. But being able to connect with those people along the way, that's been a huge highlight for me, I'd say, over the last year as well.
Absolutely. And quick, it was PhD student who has now graduated, Prithvi Akaria from Carnegie Mellon University. But you're absolutely right, dude. Like in episode 0, we talked about how we wanted to connect with people and share these conversations that you and I have in private with the rest of the world. And some of my favorite moments has been when people like engage back with us. So we've had instances, notably where we made errors or we weren't like completely accurate in some of our descriptions, and people DM us and they're like, "Hey, not bad, but X, Y, and Z." So we had Johnny Henderson, he reached out to us when we were talking about the, there was an episode where we talked about how the design in airplanes can reduce emissions, sound emissions. And we got the scale wrong for dB, decibel levels. And then we had someone else reach out to us about ground effect vehicles. And they were like, you kind of got it right, but, and then they give this paragraph long explanation that was just chef's kiss, like perfect.
Yeah.
Those are probably some of my highlights that we've had over this past year.
Yeah, well, I mean, it shows that we aren't the geniuses here, right? We're just trying to document our learning journey and explain to everyone what we think is interesting and impactful technology in a way that's easy for them to understand. But it shows that we're still learning along the way as well, which is, I mean, I don't think that's a there's a better way to explain this other than that we keep learning.
We're just pals trying to learn cool stuff, and yeah, we hope you become one of our pals and learn with us.
Exactly.
All right. What do you got? What do you got up next?
Episode 28. There was this research from ETH Zurich. This group of people took data that was collected on NASA's InSight lander on Mars, and it had basically this like a whole sensor array to collect seismic data. And looks, so seismic waves are like earthquake related activity, waves of energy basically passing through the surface of a planet. Well, they were able to use the seismic data from, we call them earthquakes here on Earth, but on Mars, they're Marsquakes, to basically take a really, really good educated guess at what the inside of Mars looks like, because we've never tunneled down to the inside of Mars. We haven't even really done it with Earth to tell us, where the core, the mantle, and the crust are, and how thick they are, and what materials they're made out of, and everything. But they were able to, just using seismic data from a lander that was on Mars, this, college that was affiliated with NASA, but, not the NASA scientists themselves. These researchers were able to determine, scientifically looking at the seismic data, that Mars has a similar structure to Earth, right? It has a core, a mantle, and a crust, but is actually also very different. So it's very similar, but also very different. The core of Earth is solid. The core of Mars is molten. The crust is much, much thicker on Mars, and it's actually made of just one plate. On Earth, we're very aware of the tectonic plates. We've got a bunch of them, and they shift, and that's where we get mountains and volcanoes and all the seismic activity. Mars actually has a lot less seismic activity because it's just one plate, the entire thing. And we also found, this is the coolest part to me, that Mars is made of, the inside of Mars, the core, is made of a lot of different elements than Earth's are, which leads us to the conclusion that, in the celestial origins of our solar system, that Mars may have come from a different body than Earth did, because they're made of different elements, which that, to me, just blows my mind.
That's the best part.
We can tell all that just from a lander sitting on the surface of Mars and just measuring when the ground tremors and when it doesn't.
I feel like we followed this up. There was another episode we did about analyzing earthquakes. Using balloons, yeah.
That was episode 27, so it was the one right before.
Oh, you're right. This one was the episode after.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was like, because like, I don't think twice about earthquakes. It's kind of like inconvenient when it happens.
Yeah.
But just knowing like how much insight they can give us about our planet and how much we can use that information to learn about our, other planets around this. That was mind-blowing.
We've now done this on Earth, on the ground, and with balloons. And we've now done it on Mars on the surface. And then they're talking about sending balloons to Venus to do the same thing. I mean, it's just incredible.
You're right. Now I'm remembering it. The students proved the technology to NASA, I think JPL. And yeah, they were like, this is set for what? The missions in 2023 and 2024, something like that. There's two missions going to Venus. Incredible.
Earthquakes, Mars quakes, Venus quakes.
All sorts of quakes. We got them all.
Yeah, we got all the quakes.
Come one, come all. Solid pick, but I'm going to follow you up with Zinger. So, episode 39, I had,
you really geeked out on this one.
Oh, dude, I had this energy bottled up in me since the first day I learned about Zinger. I love cars. I'm a car geek. For people that know me or like know of my interests, I became an engineer, but before that I wanted to be a car designer. And my passion for cars and what was underneath the hood actually led me to the engineering path. So I love cars. Zinger blew me away because they were like, look, what if we just took cars, right? Like these amazing hypercars, and we 3D printed the chassis in the coolest way possible. It looks like something from the Alien movies. And what's fascinating about it is not only did they do that, but now they're delivering cars, these record-breaking cars. I think it was, it wasn't Nürburgring. It was some other... No,
Laguna Seca.
Laguna Seca. It beat a McLaren record.
Yeah, the Senna.
The Senna, which is a legendary car.
Yeah.
And it's just blowing everyone away. It's made in California. It's made by a small team, and it's assembled by robots. So a robot's assembled like something like 90 or 99% of the car within a 1 millimeter accuracy. it's so amazing in so many different ways. And what I was excited about is, of course, like you see it with Tesla when they made the Roadster. It's this proof of concept, but then they use that same technology in everyday cars. What I was excited about is taking that 3D printed technology and seeing it in everyday cars, because if something happens, our friend, we call him Moody, his name is Mahmoud, he totaled his car twice by like wrecking the car, and the chassis was destroyed, and he was able to kind of get around it by welding it up. But for the most part, if your chassis is ever damaged, you're kind of out of luck. With this, you can just take off the 3D printed part and put in another one without really worrying about it. That's the future I'd love to live in.
Yeah, I mean, this, you were the one that really got excited about this, but this also like gets me super hyped up. It's right up my alley as well. I mean, I work at Rivian, a car company now that is kind of changing the way that we see performance of like adventure vehicles. But I also worked at a 3D printing company before. So to see, you know, the intersection of two of my interests, 3D printing and the automotive industry. Yeah. And also just outside of that, I love cars, and supercars blow my mind how the performance that they're able to, you know, extract, you know, get to the limits of the materials that they're using, get to the limits of engineering and physics. I mean, yeah, that one was an awesome one. Which episode was that?
This was 39. It was a car focused episode, which I think we both had a lot of fun with. If you look through our Instagram DMs, it's probably something like 60% just cars being sent back and forth.
Yeah,
and
90% of those are Porsches. Of cars. Yeah, Porsches, so mostly.
You could see that energy coming through. You could see that energy coming through on episode 39. Huge fan of that one.
Yeah, I'll backtrack us four episodes to episode 35.
Okay.
This one is like my mic drop, at least of the ones we've done so far, because we've done a lot of episodes on biomimicry, right? Where we, you know, take something in nature, engineers study it and learn how that works, and then apply that same principle into something that they're trying to design from the ground up. And usually that ends up working better than something that they could have dreamed up or designed on their own without looking at nature.
Nature's the best engineer. We know that.
It is.
We've proved it over and over again.
But this one for me was the one where Harvard University folks were studying mantis shrimps and trying to make robots that, you know, acted just like mantis shrimp. But for me, the thing is, I had to learn about how crazy mantis shrimp were first to be able to understand and talk about it during this episode. Mantis shrimp, if you don't remember, create air bubbles underwater that are basically the same temperature as the surface of the sun just by snapping their tail. They that involves more force than a bullet traveling out of the barrel of a gun. And Harvard scientists decoded how mantis shrimp do that, and found a way to mimic it using a tiny robot that's like a tenth of the size of the mantis shrimp. To me, that was like, in terms of sheer impressiveness of the feats of engineering that we've talked about, for me, the fact that they had, you know, biologists involved to understand the mantis shrimp, they had computer vision and machine learning experts on to help, you know, use video of the mantis shrimp to understand how the way that they work, and then reverse engineer that to make something with mechanical engineering, and then they had roboticists involved and computer scientists. I mean, the interdisciplinary group that had to be involved in that, the credentials that they must have all being at Harvard and, you know, being at the forefront of their field. But just to me, this thing that completely blew my mind in nature, they found a way to understand that, reverse engineer it, and then design something that works basically the same way and is a tenth of the size. And all this was documented in one article. To me, that this is like the most impressive thing, at least that I think we've covered during this last year of episodes.
I remember, because, you know, when we, before we start shooting, we like set up a call and we're like getting warmed up, and you were like, dude, I got a solid one.
We shoot the breeze for a little bit, and I'm like, this is the one.
You're like, I'm so excited. Like, you're going to love this. And I just remember listening to it because I'm like, okay, like how interesting can a shrimp be? We had talked about like, I think I read some like buzzy news about mantis shrimp and how fast they move. I was like, okay, like, that's cool. But then you talked about how much was involved in understanding this mechanism. And I think that's what really blew me away, that not only did they have this insanely like effective team of engineers and scientists from different disciplines working together to get this right, and then translate it to a smaller device like that humans made, that blew me away. And yeah, You lived up to the expectation on that one. Solid pick. Again, I respect it.
That is the last one I had in my bag, so I'm glad it was a good one.
All right. Let's see if I can follow it up. My last one is episode 42, and that was the most advanced prosthetics. It was a collaborative effort with Life-Enabled and Entopology. Do you remember this one?
Yeah. I love... I've been following Entop for a while, and I love seeing the applications of, you know, where their technology and generative design meets the real world, you know, like where the tires hit the track. And this is one of them that, like, it blew my mind.
I'm right there with you, man. It had some of my favorite things. It had a little bit of open source aspects to it. It had 3D printing, material science, design. And again, let's hit it with the TLDR. So Life-Enabled is a nonprofit that develops prosthetics, very advanced prosthetics. But their main focus is to get these prosthetics into the hands of people that need it the most in less developed countries where access to prosthetics is not easy and maybe not affordable. So one of the things that they noticed is that a huge problem for getting prosthetics made in terms of time sink and cost sink was the manual process of getting the initial fit right so they can start designing. And what they did was digitize that entire process from start to finish, and it ended up saving them like a week or two of full-time equivalent time.
And if I remember correctly, the manual process requires like someone with a lot of credentials, like basically, you know, an MD out. Or a doctor in their field to fly out to mm-hmm. physically, you know, check out the person, make sure the fit is correct and all this. And they're able to do it to where like someone like you or I, you know, completely uncredentialed in this field, without the expertise, could do the 3D scanning of, you know, the amputated limb. And then, you know, they could have experts anywhere in the world help figure out the correct fit and design the, you know, I forget what they called it, but it was like the liner inside the prosthetic is the one yep. that really needs to fit.
And that was their secret sauce. So the liner, I didn't know this, but in prosthetics, the sock liner is, it can be very uncomfortable. Because if it's just made out of cloth, the friction is not going to be great. It can get too hot. So it needs to be like a gel material. But if it's gel material, then it's too expensive. It can cost hundreds of dollars to replace, where sometimes you might be giving these to people in country where the income is like a dollar or two a day. And so they came up with this very novel liner that's made out of foam. And the way they were able to apply it across the board, the exact same design, was using Entopology. They came up with the flow of, this is the design, this very unique design,
mm-hmm.
offset it this much, apply the foam this way. And they were able to apply the same process through all the models they were making without much effort. I love that bit. So, kudos, like they take the award. If I was going to give an award, I loved covering everything. But the work that they're doing, I love. The way they're going about it, I love. So if I could give some sort of award, I'd definitely give it to these folks at Life-Enabled.
Yeah. In terms of, awards that we're giving out, this one would take the cake in terms of real world impact, I think. We've talked about a lot of really cool things, but for us, you know, when we get really, really excited about technology, I think that's where, you know, maybe why we decided to be engineers, you know, not academic researchers, is because we like where the technology actually impacts the real world. And absolutely. This is one of them that like blew my mind in terms of the amount of impact it already has created and will continue to create for a lot of people around the world.
Couldn't have said it better myself, man. Absolutely. And I think that wraps up all the topics that we had to talk about. So do you want to do some reflections?
Yeah, I wrote down some notes in terms of like what I deem to be our successes from the last year. And I don't really want to call them failures, but maybe like areas for growth.
Shoot.
Because a failure is like you concede that like this is where we sucked and we're not going to get better. But for us, like an area for growth, this just shows an area where we know that we're not the strongest yet, but we're going to take action towards getting better. First successes for me, over 50% of our listeners are from outside the US, even though we're both based in the US, which for me, that was one of our goals right off the bat.
At episode zero. Yeah.
Try and reach people all around the world. I looked at our listener statistics. We have listeners in 6 of the 7 continents. So if anyone knows anyone in Antarctica and can send them the podcast, that'd be really cool. So we could say that someone's listening on every single continent. But I mean, of the majorly populated continents, all six of them, we have listeners. That, for me, really blew my mind.
We have listeners, dude, in Iran. I've had people reach out to me from Iran, which was one of the goals I had in episode zero. And that it feels so great. I can't even explain it. It's wonderful.
Yeah. I mean, again, really exciting. Another one for me, I would call it another tick in the win column for us, is we've recorded, 51 episodes now, completely remotely during a global pandemic. And we did it from all different places. I know personally, I've recorded from at least 5 different locations. And it's allowed us to travel for work and for pleasure and, to, record wherever we're at, but still continue this journey of learning things, documenting them, trying to explain them. We've definitely gotten a lot better at it. Like we talked about, our production quality has gone up a lot. It sucked in the beginning. But for me, that's just a win all on its own. Coming into this, I thought we would have to be sitting in the same room to do a podcast. We've been doing it from all different locations in the world and done it, at least what I would say is pretty successfully thus far.
If there's a will, there's a way, my friend. We do it well.
We're learning, at least. And finally, my third win, I would say this is the biggest one, is our mission here is just, we say it a lot, but find things that we think are interesting, that we think will make an impact in the world, and explain it to as many people as we can, and to reach people so that they can understand technology that we think will change the world. And in the last year, we've reached over 1 million people, through our podcast, through our social media, over 1.1 million people, impressions, that is, of people hearing and learning and listening to the things that we created, and learning about the technology that we think is going to change the world. 1.1 million, to me, that blows my mind. I don't think we've earned that type of platform. For me, it's really humbling and exciting to continue and keep growing.
Well said. Very well said. I'm going to try to quickly follow up with what you just said, because you covered a lot of it. But some of the wins that I feel are very similar to yours. And I love how you pointed out that we're in all these different continents, because that was really one of the big goals that we had. I love, and this is kind of like a kudos to our audience, really. I love their engagement. I love hearing their feedback. So that's been a pretty big win for me. And I want to carry that into this year. So we have a Discord. I've promised myself I'm going to be very active on it. It's a little difficult. It's actually my first time using Discord. I'm more acquainted.
That blows my mind.
I'm more acquainted with GroupMe. I guess I'm too old now. But I want to do more on Discord. I want to interact with people more. Maybe get their feedback. Be like, look, this is the next week's topic. What do you guys want to hear more about? Or what are you concerned about? I want to get that energy into 2022. That's really the pros for me, or the wins. I guess something I'd really want us to improve on is, I know listening to podcasts, because we're both huge podcast fans. Sometimes we don't have the time to actually listen to a full episode. So, we watch the snippets on Twitter or Instagram. I want to do a better job at delivering those snippets, so that if you only have 30 seconds, if you only have 5 minutes, 4 minutes, whatever it is, you can get the meaty morsels of the episode that week.
Yeah, I agree. That's something I had written down as well. I mean, we have a friend who told us he likes to watch our content on Instagram because it's something that he can consume while he's sitting on the toilet. And for me, I mean, that's
a huge compliment.
TMI, but also a huge compliment that you want to spend your 5 minutes on the toilet watching one of our videos. So I think for us, we've focused a lot on this channel, which is audio, which is podcast. There's so much more that we can do to continue to reach people and make it convenient for people to learn about interesting tech, no matter where they are or what they're doing. I agree. That's another thing that we should focus on, and we plan to focus on in the upcoming year. Personally, this is a reflection for me in terms of 2021 in general, not just the podcast. I tried to do way too many things. And there's that proverb where it's always better to do a few things well than a lot of things poorly. For me in 2022, my focus is podcast being one of those few things, is to focus on doing a few things very, very well, as opposed to spreading myself way too thin and dropping the ball on a lot of different projects.
Amen to that. 2022 is going to be 22 times better than 2021.
Yeah, well, let's see. I mean, just I'm excited to see how much more we can do. And as listeners, everyone should be so much more excited to see what we'll do when we have a serious focus on making sure that this is a priority, you know, experimenting with different things, trying to make it better each and every single day, as opposed to, you know, get a kind of, I felt like I got kind of content with where we were at and satisfied and stopped trying to improve. But I really want to dive into this, keep making it better, so that we feel like every single week we're doing better than the week we did before.
Absolutely. And you know what? I'm going to learn Discord. So that's my big commitment for 2022.
Awesome. My final, I said, area for growth is we say we want to make technology easy to understand. I think there's still a lot more growth we can do in terms of truly explaining things in terms that anyone can listen to and anyone can view a video or listen to a podcast and understand what's going on, no matter your background. The Richard Feynman, the Feynman method, his way of learning and, you know, truly knowing that you understood something was that you could explain it to a 5-year-old. I would love to get better and better at understanding the technology that we're talking about and explaining it in a level, maybe not that our intended audience would be 5-year-olds, but so that people who don't come from technology background or an engineering background don't feel intimidated by what we're saying.
Absolutely.
And they're willing and able and excited and interested in listening and learning about the things that we're learning about, because we're able to understand it at such a high level that we can explain it in a way that anyone can understand it.
You know, consuming information about some of the greatest things happening in the world, it should be accessible, enjoyable, and easy. It shouldn't feel intimidating at all.
Yeah. So for me, that's one, you know, of the three things that I said, that's something I think we can always keep improving on, is making sure that technology that's impactful, that's interesting, you know, that stimulates the mind, but it also will change the world around us, is truly accessible to anyone who wants to learn about it.
I love that, man. What a great note to end this episode on.
I'm glad you think so. I mean, for everyone who stuck around with us through the last year and really the first year of what we've been doing, thank you. This isn't possible without anyone who's involved in this, who's listened to this. I mean, your every Instagram message, every Twitter message, it means a lot to us, and every listen. And that's why we're motivated to continue to keep doing this. So thank you to everyone. This really should be a review in 2021, how great our audience was.
That's perfect. Yeah. Thank you, guys. And as always, we'll see you in the next episode.
Peace.
That's all for today. The Next Byte podcast is produced by Weavolver. And to learn more about the topics we discussed today, visit weavolver.com. If you enjoy this episode, please review and subscribe via Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or one of your favorite platforms. I'm Forbode.
And I'm Daniel.
Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.